Welcome back to our Israel tour series. Today, we're standing in the ancient port city of Acre, known in Hebrew as Akko, one of the most historically significant and strategically important coastal cities in all of the Holy Land. The magnificent walled city on the northern end of the Haifa Bay has witnessed over 4,000 years of continuous human habitation, and its story interweaves biblical history, early church development, and some of the most dramatic chapters of medieval Christianity. Before we dive into the biblical and church history, we need to understand why Acre matters. Geography is destiny, and Acre's location made it one of the most contested pieces of real estate in the ancient world. Situated on a peninsula jutting into the Mediterranean, Acre possessed one of the few natural harbors on the coast between Egypt and Phoenicia. In the ancient world, where maritime trade was the lifeblood of empires, a deep water port was worth more than gold. The earliest references to Acre appear in Egyptian texts from the 19th century BC, during the Middle Kingdom period. The city is mentioned on Egyptian pottery, which tells us that Acre was already significant enough to be considered a potential threat. Later, in the famous Amarna letters from the 14th century BC, diplomatic correspondence between Canaanite rulers and the Egyptian pharaoh, we find multiple references to Acre, revealing that it was a major city-state in the Canaanite world before Israel even entered the Promised Land. When Joshua led Israel into Canaan and divided the land among the 12 tribes, Acre fell within the territorial boundaries that were assigned to the tribe of Asher. Joshua chapter 19 describes Asher's influence, which included much of the coastal plain and the western Galilee. Judges 1 provides a candid assessment when we read, quote, "Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of," and then five other cities are named. This failure had long-term consequences. Throughout the Old Testament period, Acre remained predominantly a Gentile city, culturally and commercially linked to the Phoenician cities of Tyre and Sidon to the north. This Phoenician influence meant Acre was a center of Baal worship and pagan religious practices, exactly what Israel was supposed to eliminate, but failed to. The prophetic books largely ignore Acre, focusing instead on Tyre and Sidon as representatives of Phoenician power and paganism. This silence is itself significant. Acre never became Israelite in the Old Testament period. It remained what it had always been, a cosmopolitan port city where Canaanite, Phoenician, Egyptian, and later Greek influences mingled. Then, after Alexander the Great conquered the region in 332 BC, Acre underwent a dramatic transformation. The Ptolemaic rulers of Egypt, who controlled this coast after Alexander's death, renamed the city Ptolemais after themselves. This wasn't just a name change. It represented a complete cultural makeover. Ptolemais became a Greek polis, a city-state organized according to Hellenistic principles, with Greek-style government, education, and architecture. By the time of the Maccabean Revolt in the mid-2nd century BC, Ptolemais was thoroughly Hellenized and hostile to Jewish independence movements. First Maccabees mentions Ptolemais as a base of Seleucid military operations against Judah Maccabee. The city remained a focal point of Gentile power throughout the Hasmonean period, eventually passing into Roman control when Pompey reorganized the Eastern Mediterranean in 63 BC. And this brings us to one of the most intriguing and under-discussed passages in Acts. In Acts chapter 21, verse 7, Luke records, quote, "When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and after greeting the brothers, we stayed with them for one day," unquote. So let's unpack what's happening there. This is Paul's final journey to Jerusalem, the trip that will end with his arrest and eventual journey to Rome. He's traveling down the Phoenician coast, saying goodbye to Christian communities that he may never see again. After an emotional departure from the elders of Ephesus at Miletus, we find that in Acts 20, Paul sailed to Tyre, spent a week with the believers there who prophetically warned him about Jerusalem, and then continued south to Ptolemais, or Acre. The casual mention of the brothers in Ptolemais is quite remarkable. This is around 57 AD, only about 25 years after the crucifixion. Yet here, in this thoroughly Gentile, Hellenized port city, there's already an established Christian community, believers strong enough to host the Apostle Paul and his traveling companions. How did they get there? We can only speculate, but several scenarios are plausible. According to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, the persecution following Stephen's martyrdom scattered believers throughout Judea, Samaria, and beyond. Philip the Evangelist took the gospel to Samaria and the coastal region. Peter preached in Caesarea, which is just 30 miles south. The church in Syrian Antioch, a major center of early Christianity, was only about 100 miles north. Maritime trade connections meant constant traffic between these ports. What we know for certain is that within just a generation of Pentecost, the gospel had penetrated even thoroughly pagan cities like Ptolemais, also known as Acre. This wasn't the result of mass evangelistic campaigns or church planting programs. It was the organic spread of the good news through ordinary believers sharing their faith wherever they went. Paul's one-day stay was brief, but it's significant that Luke mentions it. The fellowship between Paul and these believers, and the encouragement that they must have given each other, the prayers that they obviously shared, all of this reminds us that early Christianity wasn't just about the apostles. It was a grassroots movement of everyday disciples scattered across the Roman Empire, meeting in homes, sharing meals, encouraging one another, and gradually transforming the ancient world. After the New Testament period, we have limited information about Christianity in Acre during the first three centuries. The early church father Eusebius writes in the early 4th century, and he mentions the bishops of Acre attending various church councils, indicating an organized Christian presence. The city likely had a significant Christian minority by the time of Constantine's conversion in 312 AD. When the Roman Empire became officially Christian under Theodosius I in the late 4th century, Acre, like other coastal cities, saw the construction of churches and the gradual Christianization of public spaces. Archaeological evidence from this period is limited because later occupations built over these Byzantine-era structures, but we know that the city thrived as part of the Byzantine Empire for three centuries. In 638 AD, Arab Muslim armies conquered the city, which gradually reverted to its ancient Semitic name, Akko, or Acre. Under early Islamic rule, the city continued as an important port, though it declined somewhat in significance compared to the Byzantine period. Christian communities persisted under Muslim rule, though as what were known as dhimmis, protected but subordinate religious minorities. This status quo persisted for 400 years until everything changed with the Crusades. On July 15th of 1099, Crusader armies captured Jerusalem, established the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. Now, initially, Acre remained in Muslim hands, but its strategic importance couldn't be ignored. In 1104, after a brief siege, King Baldwin I of Jerusalem captured Acre with Genoese naval support. And this began Acre's transformation into the greatest Crusader port in the East. For the next 83 years, Acre served as the kingdom's primary maritime gateway. European pilgrims, merchants, soldiers, and supplies all flowed through Acre's harbor. The city's population swelled with crusaders, Italian merchants, local Christians, and even Muslims and Jews engaged in trade. Acre became a cosmopolitan medieval city, dangerous, prosperous, yet vital to the Crusader state's survival. Then came catastrophe in 1187. Salah ad-Din, the brilliant Kurdish Muslim general who united Egypt and Syria, decisively defeated the Crusader army at the Horns of Hattin on July 4th of 1187. With the Christian kingdom's military power shattered, Salah ad-Din systematically captured Crusader cities, culminating in Jerusalem's surrender on October 2nd of 1187. The Latin kingdom seemed finished. Acre held out briefly but surrendered on July 10th of 1187. Salah ad-Din allowed the Christian inhabitants to leave peacefully, a stark contrast to how the Crusaders had treated Jerusalem's Muslim population 88 years earlier. For 4 years, Acre remained in Muslim hands while European kingdoms organized the Third Crusade in response to Jerusalem's fall. The siege of Acre during the Third Crusade, which lasted from 1189 to 1191, was one of the most epic military operations of the medieval period. Guy of Lusignan, the deposed king of Jerusalem, began besieging Acre in August 1189 with a small force. What followed was nearly 2 years of brutal warfare. the Crusaders besieging the city while Salah ad-Din's army besieged the besiegers. It became a deadly stalemate, with tens of thousands dying from combat, disease, and starvation. The arrival of Richard the Lionheart of England and Philip Augustus of France in 1191 with massive reinforcements finally tipped the balance. On July 12th of 1191, Acre's garrison surrendered. The Third Crusade failed to recapture Jerusalem, but Acre's capture was considered a great success. With Jerusalem permanently lost to Muslim control, Acre became the new capital of the Crusader Kingdom, a position that it would hold for exactly 100 years. This century was Acre's golden age, when it became one of the greatest cities of the medieval world. The Acre we see today, with its massive underground walls, fortifications, and port facilities, dates primarily from this period. After 1191, the city was essentially rebuilt and massively fortified. The population may have reached 40 to 50,000, making it one of the largest cities in the Levant. Three great military religious orders dominated Crusader Acre: the Knights Templar, the Knights Hospitaller, and the Teutonic Knights. Each controlled separate quarters of the city with their own fortifications, making Acre almost a city of cities. The Knights Hospitaller built the magnificent complex that we can tour today. Founded originally to care for sick pilgrims in Jerusalem, the Hospitallers evolved into a military order after the First Crusade. Their Acre headquarters was both a fortress and a hospital, a military base, and a charitable institution. The underground halls that we walk today serve multiple purposes. The Great Hall, with its soaring Gothic arches, was the knights' dining room, a space designed to accommodate hundreds of knights for communal meals. Now remember, these military orders followed monastic rules. The Hospitallers lived under vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, combining the discipline of monks with the prowess of professional soldiers. Adjacent halls served as storage areas for weapons, food, and supplies. Other chambers housed the sick and wounded. The Hospitallers never abandoned their original charitable mission. Still, other rooms served as administrative centers where the order managed its vast European estates, whose revenues, of course, funded operations in the Holy Land. They coordinated naval operations and planned military campaigns. The scale of these structures is breathtaking, as anyone who has toured them knows. The engineering required to excavate these halls from bedrock, create the Gothic vaulting, and ensure adequate ventilation represents medieval engineering at its finest. Walking through these spaces, you're experiencing 13th century architecture largely intact, a rare gift since most Crusader structures were destroyed or heavily modified in later centuries. The Knights Templar, meanwhile, controlled the southwestern quarter of Acre, including a massive fortress that projected into the sea. Though their compound is mostly destroyed, historical accounts describe it as even more impressive than the Hospitaller complex. The Templars were the kingdom's elite fighting force and its bankers. They essentially invented international banking by allowing pilgrims to deposit money in Europe and then withdraw it in the Holy Land. Crusader Acre wasn't just a military base. It was one of the medieval world's great trading centers. The Italian merchant republics of Venice, Genoa, and Pisa each controlled separate quarters with their own churches, courts, and warehouses. These Italian enclaves functioned almost as independent city-states within Acre, reflecting the commercial importance of Eastern Mediterranean trade. The city buzzed with multiple languages: Latin, French, Italian, Arabic, Greek, Armenian, and more. Markets sold spices from India, silk from China, glass from Syria, wine from Cyprus. Eastern Christians, Greek Orthodox, Armenians, Maronites, and others all maintained their own churches and communities. Even Muslims and Jews lived in Acre, engaged in trade under Crusader rule. And this cosmopolitan character had a darker side. Acre was rough, violent, lawless by modern standards. Different ethnic groups feuded constantly. The military orders sometimes fought each other. Italian merchants engaged in open street battles over commercial privileges. Prostitution and gambling flourished. Contemporary accounts describe Acre as simultaneously magnificent and morally corrupt, a city where Crusader ideals confronted harsh realities. By the 1280s, the Crusader Kingdom was dying. Muslim forces under the Mamluk Sultanate of Egypt had systematically reconquered Crusader territories. One by one, the castles and the cities fell. By 1290, only Acre and a few minor coastal towns remained of the once extensive Crusader states. The Mamluks, led by Sultan al-Ashraf Khalil, decided to finish the job. On April 6th of 1291, a massive Mamluk army, 60,000 strong, surrounded Acre. They brought enormous siege engines and miners to undermine the walls. Inside, perhaps 15,000 defenders faced overwhelming odds. The siege lasted 6 brutal weeks. The Mamluks gradually broke through the outer walls despite fierce resistance. The military orders fought with desperate courage. The Grand Master of the Templars was killed in combat. The Hospitallers defended their quarter until evacuation became, the only option. On May 18th of 1291, the final Mamluk assault breached the inner defenses, and what followed was massacre. Thousands of civilians and soldiers died in the fighting. The Mamluk victors systematically destroyed Acre's fortifications and buildings to prevent any future Crusader return. Within weeks, the remaining Crusader coastal cities surrendered or were abandoned. The fall of Acre marked the definitive end of the Crusader presence in the Holy Land after 192 years. The military orders evacuated by sea. The Hospitallers went to Cyprus and then Rhodes, and eventually Malta, where they continued for centuries. The Templars withdrew to Cyprus, but were suppressed by the Pope in 1312 under pressure from the French king. The Crusader dream of a permanent Christian kingdom in the Holy Land was finished.